in the audience, the time being 5:30, I'll declare council meeting number 24 held today on the 12th of December 2016 now in session. All persons in attendance are advised that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I now ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
And it's confirmed. At this point, I would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and the continuing custodians of this land on which we gather today, and to acknowledge elders past and present. In attendance, we have myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Reet, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. From staff...
Yeah, Mayor, I'm recorded as a leave of absence, but I think that's just a typographical error. I applied for leave between the 5th and the 9th.
And I understand, Councillor Berry, you ran the three capes instead of walking and then you're back...
Yeah, I did, I managed, but I know that it may well have been anticipated it was going to take me much longer, but no, it hasn't.
Thank you. We have our General Manager, Mr. Gary Arnold, present, along with the Deputy General Manager, Mr. Tony Ferrier, our Manager Environmental Services, Mr. John Doole, our Manager Governance and Property Services, Mr. Daniel Smee, our Manager Development Services for a second meeting, Mrs. Tasha Tyler Moore, our Media and Communications Officer, Ms. Sarah Wilcox, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Amanda Morton. Apologies, there are no apologies, as Councillor Berry explained. He is here, intact, in one piece, and present. Confirmation of the minutes of Council Meeting Number 23, held on the 28th of November 2016. I have a mover in Councillor Fox, and I have a seconder in Councillor Reet. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reet, that the minutes of Council Meeting Number 23, held on the 28th of November 2016, be confirmed. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Workshops held since the last meeting on the 28th of November, there was one on the 5th of December in relation to information technology from Mr. Malt. Declarations of interest, councillors, are there any declarations of interest? There are none. We'll move on to page 3. On page 4, questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from the public. Questions without notice from the public. Are there any questions without notice? Mr. Wayne Burgess, Councillor Fox, could you hand your microphone back, please, if you wouldn't mind? Thank you, Mr. Burgess.
Thank you, Mayor.
Wow.
I have two questions, one relating to stormwater and another relating to rainwater events and in turn stormwater activity. The one relating to stormwater, I recall that in Council's budget for this current financial year, in a total of about $1.9 million, there was $600,000 allocated for Illawarra Road, second stage, of some $600,000. I noticed in tonight's agenda there's a mention of calling tenders for other stormwater activities, but not the Illawarra Road one. So therefore my question is the next stage of Illawarra, and therefore presumably its completion, actually scheduled and going to happen in this financial year? That's one question.
Thank you, Mr. Burgess. I'll have to ask the General Manager to respond to that one, and then we'll move on to your second one.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We'll have to take that one on notice, Mr. Burgess, and provide a written response to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question, as I say, relates probably to rainwater, but with its consequences in relation to stormwater. And it's in connection with the approval of developments, especially multi-unit developments on subdivision land. My recollection was that the council normally have conditions in there that require, as part of the private open space in approved developments, has to be a certain amount, either in area or percentage, of permeable surface, i.e. lawns, gardens and the like. The reason for my question is, and I refer to the particular example of what I refer to as the four units that have been shoehorned, and that's the only way to describe it, onto a block on the corner of Powell Road and Rosson Avenue. I noticed just the other day walking past that the private open space of at least one unit, where it has been prepared in soil and therefore could potentially be lawn, gardens, etc., has now had sheeting placed down there and is going to be completely covered with crushed rock. So I question actually whether or not I'm right in saying that a certain area is meant to be, and if it is meant to be preserved as permeable surface and therefore have some ability to absorb water, and my concern is certainly of extreme rainfall events, which seem to be occurring far more frequently nowadays. If that is the case, does Council follow up on these sorts of matters and ensure that in fact the conditions, if they are imposed, are complied with?
Thank you, Mr. Burgess. I'll ask either Mr. Ferrier or Mrs. Tyler Moore if they could respond, please. Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, there are some requirements in the scheme in relation to private open space and the amount that is meant to be permeable, but I'll take the question on notice so we can follow up the specifics of this particular situation.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. Thank you for your questions, Mr. Burgess. Any further questions without notice from the public? There being none, I'll move on. The next item is questions on notice from councils. There is a question from Councillor Winter regarding the Kingston Beach pontoon and response from Mr. Reeve that the pontoon should be operational mid to late January. Questions without notice from councils. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Grace?
I have two, Mayor. Could the General Manager give us a report, please, on how much red gravel the council uses per annum, i.e. if he could separate it so we know how much is used for Bruny Island, how much is used for Dyer's contracts on the island, and how much we use on this side of the island, please? And my...
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Grace will take that question on notice and provide a written response.
Thank you. And my second question, Mayor, I attended the Bruny Island community meeting yesterday on the island. There was quite a debate about the development of the new toilet block at the pontoon. It was stated by one of the residents, Mr. Mayor, that you had a meeting with her and you advised her that you will take this up and see what you can do about it to have it rectified. As you are aware, this has already been dealt with by the planning authority, so my question is, what do you propose to do and how do you propose to do it once it's been passed by the planning authority?
Thank you, Councillor Grace. The meeting was a telephone discussion, and I suggested to her that she write to the General Manager with a copy to all councillors with her concerns. Councillor Winter.
Are there any plans for Kingborough to follow the example set by Glamorgan Spring Bay Council and proactively pursue residential property owners offering their homes for short-term accommodation without having sought council approval?
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the Chair, there's no specific plans at the moment. We are looking at the situation. In the past, we have done this. We have written to various people on Bruny Island in particular and followed it up, and as a consequence, many people who are renting out their houses as holiday accommodation on a semi-permanent basis have obtained planning permits, but we're not following up those that are not doing it in a commercial manner.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. No further questions. We'll move on. Motions of which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there was no notices of motion received. Petitions still being actioned. There were no petitions still being actioned. And petitions received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. On page 5, the Planning Authority, the Open session of council adjourns and the planning authority meeting will commence at 5:40. And I remind councillors we are now sitting as a planning authority. The first one is a planning report with a recommendation on page 7. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Fox. Any questions or comments, councillors, in relation to page 5, 6 and 7? Councillor Bastone?
I do. I just want some clarification on... it's in general, but in fact in this one it's DAS 201610 in the middle of page 6. Where it says subdivision of three lots and balance, does this actually mean four lots or does it mean the balance is too small to be a lot?
It means that there is one lot there at the moment and there's possibly a dwelling on it, and the subdivision means that there'll be three extra lots plus the balance of land left over from the original. So three new, which will be a total of four in total.
Thank you.
Am I right on that? Thank you. I'm getting nods in the back. Any further comments? Otherwise, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. On page 8 is a development application for extension to existing dwelling requiring relaxation of boundary setback at 18 Crystal Downs Drive, Blackmans Bay, for GJ Hills. And there is a recommendation on page 16.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Grace.
I have no more to add to the report. Yeah.
Thank you. In that case, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for extension to existing dwelling requiring relaxation of boundary setback at 18 Crystal Downs Drive, Blackmans Bay, for GJ Hills be approved, subject to the following conditions, and you can see from your agenda there are seven conditions. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 23, expressions of interest for community representation on the Kingborough Road Safety Committee, and I must advise that the open session of council has resumed at 5:43. A recommendation to this agenda item is on page 25. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Fox.
Just to point out that there was another person who put an application in for this, and they're still within the numbers that are allowed for this committee. So the amended report has been circulated, I understand. I think... these people do a fantastic job, and I think it's good that we get people from the community who are interested in continuing on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, and everyone should have that update. There are six, and the name that was missed out was Mr. Mike Hughes. I will put that to the vote then. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that Jack Buzzelin, Ray Wells, Henry Cesar, thank you, Neil Broomfield, Mike Hughes and Peter Lishan be appointed as members of the Kingborough Road Safety Committee. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 35, appointment to members of council special committees, and a recommendation on page 36-37. Thank you, Councillor Reid, and thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Reid, do you wish to speak? No? Does any councillor wish to speak? I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Berry, that approval be given for the appointment of members to the Special Committee of Council as follows: the Alana Hall Management Committee, Trevor Adams, Sue Brazendale, Mark Brinkman, Lower Longley Hall Committee, Colleen Burden, Lunawanna Hall Management Committee, David Gregg, Taruna Hall Management Committee, Gillian Paxton, and the Woodbridge Hall Management Committee, Sue Edwards. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Schedule of council meetings and a recommendation from page 38. The recommendation is page 41. Councillor Chadden.
I move the matter be discussed, please.
Do I have a seconder? Councillor Reid? That the matter be discussed. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. Councillor Chatterton.
Good. Yeah, look, the reason I asked for it to be discussed, and I have no problems with meeting changing to twice a month, no problems with that at all. But I think the policy was to review the whole situation, and this only talks about the council meetings, and we really should be looking at the whole picture. That's the reason I asked for it to be discussed, because I'm interested to hear what my fellow councillors may say. But I think we really should have a finance committee, and that should meet either bi-monthly as well. I really think that we should be spending some more time as a group drilling down into the finances. I know a lot of the councillors are interested, and time's limited. You only get one speak in the council meeting. We're in committee, you should get three. So I think it's justifiable to have that as a committee. The other question that I've got on my list is 5:30 the right time to start? I know that some people do have come from work in the city and have trouble getting here sometimes by 5:30. I've had comments from the community that they can't get to listen to develop applications because they're still not home by 5:30. And I'm just wondering whether even if we move to 6 o'clock, I'm concerned about staff having a long day and no break. Most staff work to after 5 o'clock and then come straight to a council meeting, and I think that's an OH&S thing, and we haven't taken that into consideration as well. I just think we need to think about how the system works.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Looking for further comments. Councillor Reid?
I agree with Councillor Chatterton's comments because I think that... Look, I still lament the demise of the committee system. I think my view was it wasn't broken, so why change it? And in the 4 years that I was on this council in which we had committees, I found them, particularly as a new councillor, a really valuable way of getting to understand some of the finer detail of all the different areas. And I was fortunate to sit on four different committees over that time, and I just found it really useful. I found it was also a good way to get to know some of the staff in those areas and to have a more informal exchange than what that would occur in the context of a council meeting. And so, like Councillor Chatterton, I'm a little bit disappointed that this motion is only focusing on how often do we meet as a council. I think that it's working really well combining it with a planning authority, and you know, thankfully we have some of the issues that we've had in the past where we've had DAs where there have been representations, we've been able to consider them, although it hasn't actually solved that problem entirely, because we have found ourselves probably three or four times, even though we meet fortnightly, where there have been people who won't extend the deadline, and so we still do have to have a delegated authority decision, which I think is really unfortunate. But it wouldn't matter even if we met weekly, we'd probably still find ourselves in that situation. So I understand there's no happy medium to that. I found what was probably lacking in the minute was the fact that there's no referencing. We've got a list of the meeting length durations in 2015, there's only an average there about for the trial this year, and it says the average was that we met for 2 hours and 38 minutes. Well, interestingly enough, when we first started this in March, we had two meetings that went for over 4 hours, or nearly 4 hours. So, because I actually started... I felt so passionate about this change that I actually started quite, you know, OCD-like, recording the exact finishing start time and finishing time of every meeting. And how, you know, so we had two meetings in March, on the 15th of March, that went from one was 4 hours and the other one was 4 hours and 9 minutes. So has it achieved the objective of having shorter work days for staff? No, it hasn't, because they got to stay here late twice that month, not once. I see that as a problem. I appreciate the comments of, you know, look, it's 13-hour days, and it is for some of us around this table as well who are going from a job to into this environment. And quite frankly, I'd actually be rather doing that once a month rather than twice a month. But my main rationale is that I think that the committee system worked really well, and if the minimum we can have, as Councillor Chatterton suggested, is a finance committee, then I think we should certainly be reinstating that. But I'd actually like to see us reinstate some of the other committees as well, because I think the work that we did there, we're not getting anywhere near that level of detail within the context of the council meetings. Because I think we're all conscious of the time as well, and we don't want to drag things out, and we feel a bit, you know... I've heard councillors at times say, oh, look, I'm really sorry I have to ask this, but... You know, because they didn't want to drag meetings out, and that shouldn't be. That's not good in terms of transparency and accountability to our ratepayers. So I'd be interested to hear what other councillors have got to say.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I start, I was interested if the General Manager had a comment on how he thinks it affects staff. Whether there've been any comments about long days, or whether there's any effect on any effect on the staff that he'd like to comment on before.
Thank you. Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for the question, Councillor Atkinson.
I can see that some of the staff want to answer it.
And I'd be happy for them to do that. But,
as would I. I wasn't just talking to you.
I think two comments I'd make. The first is that, and the managers here present will correct me if I'm wrong, I can't recall, certainly not in recent times, it actually being raised by any of the management team. But the second comment I'd make is that with the staff are like the councillors, those that are currently employed, it's a long day, whether it's 2 days or two meetings per month or one meeting per month, but it's part of our role in local government, and we're at your hand.
Thank you. Without going back over everything that Councillor Reid said, I agree with a lot of the comments, particularly the comments about some of the analysis of that used to take place in the Finance Committee. And I think that we do, you know, we've had councillors have their questions cut off because they've said they've had their time. I don't think it's good governance if people have questions that they're not allowed to ask, because my understanding of good governance is if you don't know, you ask and ask until you know. And so I don't think that's a very good situation. And similarly, some of the reports, like, you know, the Community Recreation Report and so on, where we get a report with, you know, 20 or 30 items of things that have happened through the month, and we don't ask questions about it because it's one of 15 items on the meeting agenda, whereas if it were in a committee, we would have had a bit more detail and a bit more analysis of it. So I think we are losing some of that oversight, whether that's... of course, there's a risk of getting down into operational issues that we shouldn't be delving into, but I'm not convinced that the balance is right at the moment. I feel like we are missing some of that discussion that is constructive as far as us understanding what's going on within the council. Similarly, as Councillor Reid's explained very well, but averages aren't the best way of... the only way of looking at central tendency of statistics, you know, whether you look at the... longest meeting or whether you look at the typical length of meetings, but just by averaging it, I don't think that's a good indication of, or the best indication of, how much effort it is on our part, how much time it's taking overall. So I'm not really that concerned about the average times. On the issue that Councillor Chatterton raised about the 5:30 or 6 o'clock start, look, I'm personally comfortable with 5:30, although it's a challenge to be here by 5:30, but the downside is we'd be here half an hour longer at the end. I know that when we had this discussion soon after I was elected, and there were councillors that were proposing 5 o'clock, there were several that said that was too hard, and so 5:30 was settled on as the compromise. And so Although I take the point about not having a break and it being hard for people, I think, well, if there are people that are keen on five, there are some that are keen on six, you know, 5:30 is not a bad position. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Percy?
Yeah, I think before we had committee meetings, I think sometimes there wasn't enough for an agenda, so some of the committees probably aren't necessary. Mm. Finance probably is one that is. And I think that now, as a new councillor, I'm more involved in the whole of council now, because you haven't got the committee meeting, so as things come to council, I'm on top of all those, hopefully. I think it fits in well currently with the planning decisions, as somebody else said. You know, before we were trying to have meetings in between to try and meet the deadlines, because some developers wouldn't allow us the extra time. I think I mentioned about the questions that get asked about finance too, but I probably would like a bit of clarity there, because I think if you're asking questions and somebody's answering, then you really haven't got a time limit. Would that be fair, or is that not correct? Well, I ask questions, you're giving extensions, but I'm just wondering, is that 3-minute time limit or 5-minute time limit still, if you're asking questions, maybe you could just clarify that? Five, if you're asking questions or not.
Extension.
Right, not debating it. So I suppose the things against council officers must be in a constant cycle of preparing reports. I think that's probably would seem apparent. And also, if you're absent through sickness or leave, means you're missing more than one council meeting normally. And to me, that's a concern sometimes, that a couple of meetings gone past and you haven't been attending. So, I mean, it's just some of the considerations. But I think it's probably working quite well, and 5:30 for me is a good time, seeing I'm retiring in 2 weeks.
Councillor Graves.
Mr. Mayor, I like to hear these sort of debates, because a few years ago, not that long ago either, I was on a committee, and I was also a chair of a committee, and I had to start work at be on the ferry at 7 o'clock, and then I wouldn't finish my duties at the committee, which you were chair, until probably 9:30 at night, and you worked them hours out. When I asked for some relief on that, nobody supported me and said, well, that's just it, that's how it is. So I've found that since we've had the council meetings, in one way they're a lot better. Financial, I'm not sure whether when we had the reports, a lot of information we didn't get that I thought we should have got as a councillor. I mean, I still believe that we should get a lot more information, and every time I raised it, particularly the check butts, we don't get them anymore. We're not entitled to them because it's operational. And I guess straight after Christmas, Mr. Mayor, the motion that I'll be putting on this table is, why do we need councillors anyway, when 93% of our workload is operational, because we are just not told anything?
Councillor Fox.
Well, I've functioned quite happily under both systems, but I do feel one issue about the current situation is that everybody seems to be better informed all round. And I think that is really important, because with the committee system, we had certain people who were quite well informed on certain issues, but and others weren't. And I think there's more equality around the table now. And also with some of the committee meetings, it was difficult to get a quorum. Even if we had an agenda, still people couldn't turn up. So, and we couldn't co-opt other councillors to make up a quorum. So I think this is a much better system, and we've got less councillors, of course. And I think that also makes a difference in terms of being able to speak. It doesn't take quite as long as when you've got 12 councillors around the table. I agree about the finances. I feel there should be more information, and I think a lot of it could be presented in written form so we can actually read it rather than go through the documents and trowel through all these finer details and figures. I think having a more broad summary of what's going on would be helpful. But I think that's something that can be tweaked. Overall, I think the system works well the way it is, and I would prefer to keep it the way it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. If I can just say that since the last meeting I've had discussions with the General Manager with Finance, and Finance, that we can certainly work that in as to a workshop as a standalone product, be it monthly, be it quarterly, be it two-monthly, whatever Council desires. So that could be a workshop on Finance. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. Like Councillor Fox, I've been happy to work under both systems. I think both systems have their own inherent difficulties and benefits. The one thing I do, or a couple of things I really miss about the committee structure, first is that it's a somewhat more relaxed environment, and you have the opportunity to explore proposals from the staff who actually, because of the format, actually speak far more, well, not more than the councillors, but almost as much as the councillors, to actually enlarge and to provide additional information, instead of the situation that we have with two council meetings a day where we have an agenda and there's kind of pressure to make a decision. And just occasionally I feel it would be nice to have had a more detailed discussion. The committee structure does allow people to ask or speak more than once. I mean, I'm quite sure that we've all had the experience of sitting around the council table. My goodness me, I wish I could actually just have a few more words. So the other thing that I found with the committee structure is that you do actually meet up with the next grade of staff. Not all senior managers. You actually do actually meet the staff who are less senior. You get to know them. They're often the ones, I nearly said who are doing most of the work, but you know, they're they're kind of the workers, and so it's usually very good to actually enable them to have an opinion. And those slightly more relaxed situations, the staff do, and much more freely actually, provide their view on issues, which is often very useful. And going to two council meetings has made absolutely no difference. In fact, I mean, not unexpectedly, there's more time because we have planning items on the agenda. And I know that we're supposed to get all the information from workshops before we actually make a decision. I mean, there's something on the agenda tonight that, there's mention of the art of adaptation. Now, I look around and I don't see our arts and cultural officer here, which had this been on a committee meeting, that officer would have had the opportunity to kind of explain a bit more to me about that. So, I'm not going to get too upset if it doesn't go to the committee structure again. And I was interested, I mean, people think, yeah, finance is important, definitely, and we tend to forget that the committees, anybody can turn up. If you've got something you're particularly interested in with a committee, you can rock up and listen to it. So, I just wonder sometimes whether, an infrastructure committee also would be useful. I think now that planning seems to have been so circumscribed and, there's not so much that seems to come to council. Anyway, so I'd like us to go back to some sort of committee structure for the reasons as stated. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Any councillor that haven't spoken wish to speak? In that case, I'm open to suggestions with recommendations. Councillor Chadden?
Yes, I'd move the motion as printed with a B, and the B being that we investigate setting up of some committees in the new year. I mean, yeah, I'll leave it at that because I'll talk about it. Yeah, The reason I said left it at that is because it might be that we could have two committees, as Councillor Berry quite rightly said. You know, if we had a finance committee, maybe we have a works committee, maybe have something else. It doesn't have to be the committees we had in the past. There may be that two of them could be merged and we could end up with three committees rather than have four or five as we had in the past. We wouldn't have planning because planning comes in as part of the council meeting, so that cuts one committee out. But some of these others, they may only need to meet bi-monthly. I'm not saying they will have to meet monthly. I just think we need to review that, and I think we need to think about, and I mean, Mayor, you and the General Manager should perhaps look at it and give us some guidance on what you think would work, and we can look at it and discuss it and make a decision, yay or nay. But I just think it shouldn't be forgotten. Let's get on and agree with the meeting schedule. We've got no problem with that whatsoever, and look at the committee structure perhaps in January, sometime, one of the council meetings in January.
Thank you, Councillor Chad. Speakers, Councillor Fox.
Would it be possible to take these motions separately? Yes. Point of order, the microphone's not working, maybe the recording
isn't. I didn't
isn't.
Turn it on, that's probably why.
Thank you for that. So part B is investigate setting up some committees in the new year. That's open for debate. Oh. Councillor Fox?
I'd like to speak against that motion because I feel that it has already been investigated by staff and they've come up with this recommendation. I don't think anything that's been said around the table hasn't been covered already and in the report, and I would vote against it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Point of order, Mayor. Could you just clarify, is this a separate motion that's been moved and seconded, or is it... I'm not sure what's happening.
It's the motion that was moved, and we've taken it in two parts. We're now right on the second part.
So we're debating it and voting on it separately, although it's...
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Do I have a speaker in favour or opposing part B? If not, Councillor Chadden, do you wish to close debate?
I think we've said enough, thank you.
Thank you. So the second part, moved by Councillor Chatterton, seconded by Councillor Berry, is part B, investigate setting up some committees in the new year. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillors Bastone, Councillor Chatterton, Berry, Atkinson, Reid and Wass. And opposing is Councillor Winter, Councillor Grace, Councillor Fox. Motion is carried. Which way were you, Mike? Opposing. Thank you. My apologies for missing you. It is still carried. The next item is on page 42, petition toilet block land at 25A Osborne Esplanade, and there is a recommendation on page 44.
Look, I'll move it. It's a petition. It's got to be dealt with.
Thank you. So, recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Berry. Any debate? Councillor Grace?
Yes, I just want to make sure, and it says here that further consideration, their views on the future use of this property following the completion of the current development application process. Now, as I understand it, the new process for the development application has to be re-advertised again.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is correct, Councillor Gross.
So everyone will have an opportunity to voice their opinion again, even on the second application. On, yeah, okay, yep. That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson?
Thank you. Look, I understand the DA process is separate. What I wondered if either you, Mayor, or the General Manager could inform us a bit on what the process would be when it says Council will further consider their views. What would be the process for that further consideration?
Thank you. Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson, I wasn't the author of the report, but I believe the recommendation is written in a way that recommends to Council that the DA process should be allowed to run its course and enable Council to consider that DA application as a planning authority, and then as the owner of the property, should Council wish to, regardless of what the decision of the planning authority is, should Council wish to further consider the future of that parcel of land, then that is available to the Council.
Thank you. So would that be something that a councillor would have to initiate as far as a motion to a meeting, or would there be a report come from staff to consider? I understand the DA process is quite separate, and that's whether this application meets the scheme and so on. I'm just concerned that this could be something that there's no sort of no action to stimulate it, and so we sort of go, well, there'll be further consideration, but nothing actually happens. I'm just interested in how that would occur.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'll defer to my colleague, but my reading of the report was that whatever the decision of Council acting as the planning authority on the DA, that there would be a further report to the Council.
Thank you. That's the clarification I want. Thanks.
Mr. Ferrier, do you wish to add? No? Thank you. Councillor Winter?
Following that line of questioning, what would that next report be about, or what decision would Council be making?
Mr. Arnold?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, that's a good question. I'm not sure that I'm in a position to answer that at the moment, to be honest.
I mean, look, Mr. Ferrier?
Through the Chair, I think once the development application has been processed, I think there's probably some issues that Council might like to consider in relation to the future of the property, depending upon how that turns out. I'd imagine, we're going obviously into this with an open mind. It could be an approval, it could be a refusal. So I think regardless of what the outcome of the development application is, I think there's some considerations for Council. For example, if it's an approval, that may well be appealed, and maybe it'll be tribunal issues. It depends what Council might want to do at that particular stage in relation to the conditions which are imposed. So I think there's some decisions that Council needs to be made in relation to the future of the property, but we won't really know that until we see what the outcome of the planning process is. So I think the report that would come back to Council would just outline that and give them the Councillors an opportunity to discuss those options that might be before Council.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. That answer your question, Councillor?
It does. What concerns me about that is, about the wording, not so much the answer to the question, is that it looks as though Council will further consider reconsider its decision of 12 months ago, where we initiated the process of putting the Surf Life Saving Club and the Restaurant Cafe group together. And just hypothetically, reviewing that could mean that if the planning authority was to approve the development, talking about hypothetically or potentially changing our mind and putting 12 months of work from a Surf Life Saving Club and the restaurant are in jeopardy, which sounds like, from my perspective, a pretty awful thing to do. So I'm not all that comfortable with that, although I am more comfortable because of the response there from the Deputy General Manager, and I understand that, that we don't know what's going to happen, we don't know what... we haven't seen the development application, we don't know if it's in compliance with our planning scheme, we've got to make that decision independently, I understand that. So I'm kind of comfortable with the wording, although I wish we were just receiving the report. I note that 178 people have signed this petition. I note there's 2,000 people, according to the ABS, who live in Kingston Beach, and I note that there's 208 people who are members of the Surf Lifesaving Club. So numbers are important, and it's important to put them in perspective here that I think this development, this proposal, all of the vast majority of feedback I've seen has been very, very positive about it. It's something that I hope it fits in with the planning scheme because, yeah, I would love to see the Surf Lifesaving Club find a home there at 25A.
Thank you. Mr. Ferrier, do you wish to add anything to your previous? No. I just... conscious that it will be a development application, that's why I'm sorry, but I wanted to chop you off just a little bit. Yeah. Any further councillors wish to speak? Otherwise, I'll put the recommendation. The recommendation moved by Councillor Gray, seconded by Councillor Berry, that Council notes the petition received in regard to the future use of 25A Osborne Esplanade, Kingston Beach, and that the organisers of the petition be notified that Council will further consider their views on this future use of this property following the completion of the current development application process. Councillors, please, those in favour, say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 45, provision of right-of-way, 12 Sports Road, Dens Point, and a recommendation on page 47. Thank you, Councillor Berry. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Fox? Councillor Berry?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I mean, I've got a... I think Councillor Place at Dens Point. I don't know the people involved in this. At least I know one of them. But I had a look at this today, or rather over the weekend. I had a look at it yesterday, and... oh, I've got cramp.
You walk with
much of the airport. Speak for a moment.
Three coach walk is obviously coming back.
I mean, council sort of can't get in the habit of allowing people to have rights of way over council land just to access their property. But I agree entirely, having had a look at it with the report, in this particular situation, declining to agree to this would mean the death of... I don't know, 20-year-old, I don't know, about 20 decent-sized eucalypts. And it seems to me not a sensible thing to do. So I'm in favour of the recommendation, although this is not a habit that I think council should get into the habit of doing, relying right away over our land for access to people's property. Having said that, I did notice that the previous permit condition, when the subdivision went through, the permit conditions are crystal clear. They said an access had to be provided by the developer, and that wasn't done, nor was it looked at. No compliance, no one actually looked to see whether the permit conditions had been adhered to. Now, I don't know if at least I probably do. It's stretching a long bow, probably, but we were close to privatising the building inspectorate, and I just wonder whether, you know, a building inspector, you know, might have some client. Anyway, I wasn't particularly pleased that there had been no follow-up on the permit conditions, and as a result of that, council is now being asked to provide a right-of-way. But the end result of that is that I'm completely in favour of the process that's been recommended.
Thank you. Councillor Percy?
Yeah, I was also concerned about the permit condition because they shouldn't have allowed these eucalypts to grow and therefore we wouldn't have had a problem. My problem with this particular one, when we're doing a tour around the island and we're looking at possible RV sites and that down that end, up the northern part of the thing, the access up that road is just about... oh, it's just about impossible for a larger vehicle. So I'm just wondering if, even if we provide access, I don't know how they're going to build on it because they just won't get vehicles up there. So whether that's one of the conditions that if they get the right of way, they actually make some sort of a better entry point from that road, because at the moment you won't get much up there, and if we give them the right of way. So that's my only concern. I don't know whether anybody could, in the planning, could tell us whether they'd actually consider that.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. I'll ask Mr. Smee whether he's aware of any aspect of that that you highlight, Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The property is currently accessed informally via Sports Road and across our reserve. So there's no implication in this recommendation that the property owner would be required to upgrade Sports Road at all. The property owner has simply requested the right of way across our reserve. So certainly there's nothing in here that would suggest that an upgrade of Sports Road is required in order to access the property.
Thank you.
So they couldn't come back to us later on and say, look, I can't get up to my property with these trucks, so can you do something about the road? Because we always seem to get things in, you know, retrospectively sometimes, and it costs council money.
Mr. Smee?
I guess they could come back and ask, but they would be in a similar situation to anyone else that asks.
Thank you. Further debate, councillors, or I'll put the recommendation. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Fox, that in accordance with the provisions of Local Government Act 1993, council advertise its intention to grant a right-of-way 4 metres in width adjacent to the north-eastern boundaries of the Dens Point Recreation Ground. That's title reference number 34418, folio 1, in favour of title volume 136236, folio 12, in brackets 12, Sports Road. And B, subject to there being no public objections to the above, the general manager be authorised to negotiate the creation of a right-of-way with all establishment costs to be met by the owner of 12 Sports Road. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, no. That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 49. Kingborough is getting ready, final report, and there is a recommendation on page 56. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Chadden.
Oh yeah, wouldn't we had a workshop on this just recently, and it was a very interesting workshop. And particularly on that one, we focus a lot on Bruny Island, but this highlights a lot in Kingston Beach. But we've got to be prepared for these natural disasters when they happen. It's not if they happen nowadays, it seems to be when they happen. And a lot of work's been done with a consultant as well. And I think we need to accept this as it is. It's been funded. It talks about finance there on number 5. The project's been funded under NDGRP project for $125,000 and $80,000 from council and $1,000 in kind. So it's. I know other councillors will probably put a lot more information on there than I'm saying, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a worthwhile project. We've got to get on and do what we're doing and release it to the public and see what the public are having to say about where they think they're going to be affected or not, and if they believe they're going to be affected, we need to work with them.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I think this is a fantastic example of the council proactively being involved in something that's going to affect the community and is affecting the community. And as Councillor Chatterton has said, there's been a number of workshops. You know, we've talked about groundwater issues, we've talked about the Torrens project. There's a huge amount of work, and I think it's been, you know, very, very valuable to at least to inform me about some of the issues. And there's clearly community interest in this. You know, there was community members that are very keen to get to the public consultation that we had at Kingston Beach, publicising some of this information. So I think it's a motion to release this information to the public seems nothing but a good idea. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Gross, you had your light on, you're right.
Yeah, look, I don't know what to think of it. I've been around a long time, and I think some of this stuff is fantasy stuff, unfortunately. That's my opinion. I think we're scaring people with some of this information. I've worked down on the beachfront, etc., and I don't know. I don't know what to think of it, Mr. Mayor. I don't know.
Thank you. Councillor Chadden, like to close debate?
No, thank you.
I'll put the recommendation, councillors, moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that the National Disaster Resilience Grants Program, NDGRP, Kingborough is getting ready, project final report be noted, and that the associated documents be released for public information. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 57 with a recommendation on page 60, and that is Climate Change Innovation LAMP.
I'll move it if no one else will.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Chadden.
Yes, Mayor, look, once again, we've had lots of workshops on and stuff from Mr. Doole on over a period of quite some period of time on the Climate Change Innovation Lab and how unique it will be to have this lab in Kingborough and how we've got support from other organisations to do it. The only thing that I do have a question on, I suppose, is it is on 5.3, it talks about funding, and it is upon the funding application for $135,000 towards the first year of the operation of the lab was submitted the last round of Natural Disaster Resilient Grants Program. This requires a matching in-kind or cash contribution. From what I understand, we still haven't got some of these funds. We put the applications in, which is fantastic, and we've got to make a decision to do something so we can put the applications in. But it'd be very disappointing if we were unfunded and we couldn't go ahead with it because all the work that's been done. However, in saying that, we do have a very tight budget ourselves, so we really, in my opinion, can't proceed unless we are successful with these grants. I think that's the key to the whole thing as far as I'm concerned, to make sure that we are funded from these particular groups that Mr. Doole has been working with. And in 4.6 he talks about some of the networking stuff that's going on. But provided we get the funding, I have no problem with it at all.
Thank you. Mr. Doole, do you want to respond, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The grant we put in, we did actually offset our contribution via what we put into coastal management and climate change this year anyway. So we did actually have matching funding, and there was $70,000 from a project that Dibbs Barker is contributing to us pro bono on their behalf. So we were actually able to argue that we had matching funding for that grant. But you're quite right. The success, if we get that grant, it will make a significant difference to how we approach the first 6 months of the lab.
Thank you, Mr. Doole. For the record, Councillor Berry left the meeting at 6:26, returning at 6:28. Limp back in with a cramp, I think. Councillor Chadden, that answered your questions. Yeah. Councillor Winter.
Councillor Percy got some great points.
Councillor Percy, if you wish to go next, you may go next.
Thank you. It's very positive the council has identified climate change as an area that they want to explore from a government perspective. I think it's also good. The location of Kings Bench Hall obviously will keep its costs down and is a good site, as long as it doesn't interfere with the current users down there, which Mr. Doole said it will not happen. I think when the idea was proposed to councils back on June the 4th or something, I was concerned at the time that it may cost council some money to get it off the ground and keep it running, and we were told it would be self-funding. The fact that we're now being asked to contribute $12,000 plus an additional $40,000 is in conflict to what we were told then. The response from Mr. Doole in June said it wouldn't be a problem to get monies from our partners. He's explained that a little bit now, but it's the cash content that we're obviously after. I'm concerned that the project that was going to be cost neutral at this early stage will require council to contribute funds. I was also told that council's limited resources will not be transferred to this project. However, the report does say it will require focused leadership, during the establishment phase and also guidance for the setup on for the site. I assume both of these involve council resources. I'm not sure whether the report identifies the ongoing cost. Well, I just got the report a while ago off the thing. I was having trouble with my Dropbox, so I haven't had a chance to have a good look at that. But anyway, the cost in this area of council's operation in this type of thing is in the last 5 years has increased greater than CPI or the council's cost index. And for a council who has an underlying deficit of over $2 million in 2015-16, the largest of any council in Tasmania, we need to contain our costs of running the council and especially on new programs. For that reason, I cannot support this motion until a successful grant or external monies are found to start this project. And that's similar to Councillor Chadman's point of view. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Mr. Dill, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Mayor. What the $12,000 is referred to, Council had already signed off on. We agreed that it was from the climate change budget we would spend $22,000 on investigations of the viability of the lab. So we've only spent 10 of that to date. So the $12,000, the $40,000 I acknowledge is a request. It is existing funds though in the climate unspent so far in the climate change budget. And really I'm not saying that it's an outright expenditure. What I'm advocating is that it would be a loan to facilitate the establishment of the lab, and it will be paid back over the 2 years of successful operation of the lab subsequently. But I'm in council's hands there because I did say it wouldn't cost any more, and if that's quite rightly, if that's how councillors feel. The NDRP grant, if we're successful there, and we should stand a reasonable chance, that will fund the initial setup and first year of operation of it. And there are other grant opportunities coming up as well, a community infrastructure grant. We're likely to be in for $50,000 for that, and that doesn't require matching funding. And there's community science grants as well from Canberra coming up as well. So the $135,000 is very important. The $40,000 would be very useful if I was able to transfer that as a loan, but it's not critical. And if we have to set it up with the $12,000 plus $10,000 we already have a commitment from, then we will do that too. Yes, there's sort of really three options there. One is more ideal than the others, but that's the situation.
Thank you, Mr. Dill.
Just following on from that, a question then, because the the motion that's been moved and seconded doesn't sort of specifically talk about the $40,000 loan. I understand it can't include all the details, but that is quite a significant financial decision for council to make to loan $40,000 to what will be an external body. And what I'm proposing, what I'm thinking about at the moment is testing whether we can go ahead with this without the $40,000 loan. So I guess I'm asking procedurally how I do that, given that the $40,000 loan isn't actually mentioned in the motion. I mean, is it just assumed because that we are endorsing a $40,000 loan despite the fact it doesn't say it in the motion?
Well, I think you'd be looking to an amendment to the recommendation.
Seems funny that I've...
Subject to. I'll go on to the other speakers. If you wish to amend that, I'll certainly...
How about I say my piece and then I do?
Okay.
And
then I put, sure.
Cool. Okay. Usual disclaimer when I talk about this. I believe in man-made climate change. I'm not a sceptic. However, I don't believe that it's Kingborough Council's responsibility to do everything and look after and put our ratepayers' money into a body which will essentially be set up for a greater cause, a larger local government initiative to fight the impacts of climate change. And so I was happy to support this with the understanding that ratepayers wouldn't be putting any money into it. But whilst there's only a small amount, there's only $22,000 which came through the last budget and only a $40,000 loan. We often give loans to organisations outside of council. Oftentimes they don't come back. So I see a real risk that we won't see the $40,000 back. I don't understand how we can justify loaning ratepayers' money, $40,000, I read the business case and I can't see a clear benefit to Kingborough ratepayers out of this proposal, to Kingborough ratepayers. I see the greater good, if you like, but that doesn't mean it should be funded by Kingborough, and I understand that the work we've done has put us in this position. And I'm happy to support this if we are containing the financial allocation to that $22,000 and going for grants, and that makes sense. But I can't support even a loan of $40,000 or any more money whatsoever, in fact. And if this is set up, I'll be looking at ensuring that it's supported with a corporate support payment like KWS is, for example, that makes sure that it's truly independent of council and we're not taking resources away from council. One further question I had to ask was the $40,000 to be sourced from the current climate change budget for 2016-17, what was that money otherwise going to be used for?
Mr. Doyle?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I had it ironically targeted on advancing modelling of flood scenarios at Kingston Beach, testing the adaptation sort of responses that we've developed, and also working on risk assessment at Kingston Beach and early warning systems, so crossing over into Wimmer. So ironically, it was earmarked for expenditure at Kingston Beach anyway. And ironically, the research into how it might be spent could well come from the Innovation Lab. So, yeah, that's because Kingston Beach is our key case study, and that's what we're focusing on, our research and our adaptation responses.
So, thank you, Mr. Dill.
To me, that is a better use of $40,000, frankly, to actually directly looking at the impacts of climate change on the Kingborough municipality, not setting up an organisation which is going to have a much broader Australia or nationwide, worldwide look at climate change. I will deal with the amendment down the track.
Thank you, Councillor Winder. Councillor Reid, I think you were trying to put your light on.
I've had mine on for a long time.
That's all right. Okay, so you didn't want to say anything? All right, yeah, I had her down next. Councillor Fox.
Sorry. I guess we've taken a completely new tack, and I had my light on before Councillor Winter, and I just feel I wanted to say something at that time. An issue has been raised that I don't really want to focus on as much as the fact that I think it's really important to be having a presence in the Kingston Beach Hall where the community can actually go and look at this situation and have access to information and that it's open to the public, because it will have wider implications for other people in Kingborough as well. I'm aware that the Environment Centre in Mount Nelson was also very keen to have perhaps a partnership role on this project, but at the same time I think they're very pleased for it to be in Kingston Beach, and I'm particularly pleased that the hall isn't being exclusively used, but it's a place where a lot of people go, that a lot of people have access to, and will have ongoing support for this issue, which I think is a very important issue. I'm not really comfortable about talking about the grant money being a loan or being when it states that the funds are currently available. I would have thought that this was, in the scheme of things, is a fairly reasonable type of sum to be putting towards something that is so significant and something that the whole community will benefit from. So I'll just say I would support the motion as it stands. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Reid?
Thank you. I was interested in the... I guess I should start by saying I fully support this. I think it's exciting that, given that the work that we've done here at Kingborough Council that John Doole has led over the last few years, I feel like we are leading the way in relation to trying to understand the impact of climate change on our municipality, and I think that's something that we should be very proud of, and indeed that has been recognised in national forums. And I am very supportive of this. I think it's fantastic for us to be able to put together something, or, you know, form something like this that is so relevant to our municipality, and have it based here as well. Having said that, I'm just interested in what the other loan, there was in 5.4 and 5.5, it talks about some of the other grant programs that were applied for. Perhaps Mr. Doole, could you just go through with each of those what the quantum was that you applied for and so on? And were those applications just made, I guess, in the name of Kingborough Council, or who would be the grant recipient? Isn't set up yet.
Mr. Doole?
Through you, Mayor, the two other applications haven't actually closed yet. Right. So the community infrastructure grants will probably close in February, I think, and the citizen science ones will probably be a couple of months after that.
And so
$50,000 from community infrastructure grants, that's the small stream, and there's no requirement for matching funding with that, so that's just an open application. The citizen science one, there'll be some degree of matching, but we're not clear exactly what. And that will probably be an application for $300,000, but over the whole life of the lab. So the initial setup and then the 2 years of operation after that.
Okay.
Whereas the NDRP grant, we have to spend in 1 year the $135,000, so that will be for the initial year of operation and the setup.
And then what about the Australian Government Innovation Grants? Is that the last one? That's the citizen science one.
Yes.
Right. So, what happens given that the grant rounds, like they haven't closed and won't for 2 to 3 months, so they're closing, say, March, and it generally takes a couple of months to get an outcome from some of these major grants programs. So that kind of takes us close to the end of the financial year, and what you're saying under 5.4 is that there's some, you know, that 40,000 could operate the lab for the first half of 2017. Can you just kind of elaborate on that a little bit? Because you've got the very real problem of then A, not getting either of the grants or not getting the whole amount, and so how do you see that panning out?
Mayor, I think because it's going to be in the hall, we could run very frugally in the initial setup. I mean, not ideally, but we could do it on the $12,000 plus the $22,000 that we have in the, you know, in our back pocket at the moment. The $40,000 just really helps us to do some of the works around the hall that we would like, and the $135,000 is an absolute ideal. Yes, it's not a perfect situation, but we are really keen to make a go of this in some form. There's just varying degrees of setup. I genuinely believe, though, that once we have a presence there, the money will come. It will come from other stakeholders who've expressed interest. It just reminds me a bit of Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come. I am totally confident that will be the case. Once it is actually a tangible presence, then we will be able to have training sessions there. We will be able to have even conferences nearby related to this. There's so many technical expertise, planning, engineering, environmental, that are just crying out for training sessions specifically on climate change adaptation. It's a real gap all over Australia. So, but yeah, the first 6 months, if there's no grants, will be extremely tight. Yep. That's why I've sort of made a request for the loan of the 40,000, but I'm not... That's just a suggestion. It could be taken from existing climate change funds, but it's just a suggestion.
Yep. Thank you. And just one last question. In terms of the stakeholders, have any of the other councils expressed any interest in being involved at this stage? Can you see this becoming sort of I guess, a partnership with other councils as well, like Hobart City Council, Clarence, anyone like that?
Through you, Mayor. Hobart has expressed, I think there's a lot of sitting and watching at the moment. The only one who's really come forward to express interest is Whitsunday, who are later in the agenda, who want to sign a memorandum of understanding on all this stuff with us. So, yes, that they're quite potentially. In terms of other councils, yep, Hobart has expressed interest, and I have actually had meetings with the up at Mount Nelson with Nell Smith up there on a partnership there as well. We could have a presence up in Mount Nelson. They're doing mainly energy efficiency and stuff like that, but there'd be a conduit for us to display adaptation and vice versa. So there's lots of balls in the air, but I admit there is no definitive money at the moment apart from if we get successful grants.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson? And I had Councillor Bastone followed by Councillor Berry.
My question is to Mr. Dool. Sorry about my back. Is there a possibility that what the modelling that the Innovation Lab works on will actually be able to be sold on to other councils around Australia and perhaps further around the world so that it will become quite self-funding in the future?
Mr. Dool.
Through you, Mayor, that is a really good question, because we actually had a conversation today about writing a specific area plan for Kingston Beach, and we're mindful that the modelling of coincident flooding, that's the flooding of the river and sea level rise, is quite complex, and the degree we've done it to is relatively unique for the size of council we are. So I think there is a lot of possibilities of, particularly since we could provide a service in a cost-effective way. Because if you have a DA and you go to a consulting firm, a full-on consulting firm, you will be up for a lot of money for this kind of stuff. That's why we pride ourselves. We've developed the expertise in-house and we've had it peer-reviewed externally. So we are well-placed, yes, to sell our services to smaller councils like Huon Valley and Glamorgan Spring Bay, who have small niche areas that they need this kind of study done on. So, yes, it is a possibility.
Thank you.
Councillor Berry.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is, for me, it's an exciting and innovative idea. And I must confess I do have a weakness for supporting initiative and new ideas that appear to have legs, that actually appear to have a lot of solid material that supports this notion, but it is a seriously interesting and exciting initiative, and I think as a council we're extraordinarily fortunate to be in the position of being able to support it. I mean, you know, money is certainly important, but I mean, I can't imagine how we as a council could so we support this initiative, and it needs a bit of money, and we're not prepared to do that. I mean, I've had a look through the business case in detail that was there in the councillor's room, and my reading of it was that there were in fact substantial benefits to our ratepayers, certainly in the early stages of this program, so I would dispute the notion that all the benefit or a proportion of it, a substantial proportion, is going elsewhere. I think that is for the future, and only if this proves to be successful. So the idea has my strong support.
Thank you. Councillor Gross.
I guess I'm always the negative one, but I've got a negativism against this for a good reason. We need so much other stuff in the municipality. This propping up the 40,000, and it's only for 1 year or 6 months, it reminds me of us propping up Maranoa Heights with the funding up there that was guaranteed. Oh yes, that'll be guaranteed, but it never got guaranteed, and we're putting 60,000 a year of our ratepayers' money because we were committed, and we're going to be the same with this. This should not be voted on until we've got decent grants that can instantiate the running of this property. Now, all right, if we can sell this to America maybe Donald Trump will come down and have a look at our situation, because I'll tell you what, he really needs it up there in America. But, I mean, I just think we're gonna commit the Kingborough rate pass to something that's going to cost us a lot of money if we sign up, and I can't support this. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Councillor Gross. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I was interested to hear some of the councillors say whether they believe in climate change or not, because it doesn't really matter whether you believe in it, it's real. As you've all heard thousands of times, the consensus of climate scientists, the CSIRO, the American Association for Advancement of Science, the Royal Society, all the major scientific bodies say this thing is real. We have an advantage here in that we've done some work locally, which I'm trusting what the staff is telling us, which is potentially unique, but it's certainly an advantage over similar councils. And I think that it's a risk, but it's a risk worth taking to capitalise on that advantage. I take Councillor Winters and a point about, and Councillor Percy, about being careful with our money. I think there's potential to, the risk of talking about multipliers, but to get more value out of this than we put in, because we have that advantage. And I think that if we can attract grant money, if we can do stuff that's valuable to other people, we can build on this. I think that for the council to take initiative on something delights me. You know, we have to be known for more than available building land, which seems to be our current advantage. To say this region is known for something, it'll attract businesses, it'll attract industries, it'll attract all sorts of stuff if we do it right. If we never take a risk, then we'll just be yet another council that plods along and builds roads. Is that what we want to be known for? And one day our land won't be as cheap as someone else's land, and then we won't be the fastest growing municipality. We have to have something that makes this council stand out. We've done all this work. We've heard, you know, I've been amazed by the stuff that's been presented to us in workshops. There's real expertise being sort of applied to this. When I talk to people about the Kingston Beach case study, they're fascinated. They go, oh, they haven't heard about anything similar happening. I think this is a fantastic initiative. I think that I listened carefully to what Mr. Dool said, and I'm glad that other people have been questioning the finances. I think that if we don't get the grants, then we can do something with it. If we get the grants, fantastic. It could go off. It'd be brilliant. So I'm all in favour of this. Thank you.
Thank you. You're looking to make an amendment?
Yes.
I'll speak first and then I'll come to you for that amendment.
No problem.
Look, I speak in support of the motion. I believe that currently we have hands-on, and to risk that, I believe, would be risking both public and private infrastructure and services that our community receive day in, day out and take for granted. I think if we want to look back at the roof panels we put on this building, we're saving money each and every year. We are in front of the repay on that, and that was an initiative that I think we had to take, and we're more than happy that we did. If we don't do it, then the option is that we've got to get consultants from time to time, and consultants will cost us money, more money, and I think then our staff are not with the project going forward, so we do lose that continuity. I think we're very lucky that in our municipality we have both the AAD and IMAS, and there are opportunities for those involvement. And certainly we have CSIRO not far away, which we spoke to some time ago about the relocation. And if a relocation of CSIRO was to occur, then we would be very willing to have them in our municipality. And I think the opportunities that we've got to work with CSIRO are immense. And certainly if there was to be a relocation, that would certainly look in our favour, I would believe. I think the UTAS is another one. Great opportunities where this work can be done. And I think if we look back with Kingston Beach, had the work not been done there, we wouldn't have been able to work out how we could mitigate the issues that we are aware. Now, we've been able to have those peer reviewed, and we are in a belief that there is a way forward for Kingston Beach into the future. I think other townships throughout our municipality also are deserving of that information, and I think if we don't continue with this, again, as I said before, that continuity would drift, and then I think to try and kickstart it again with consultants, etc., I think in the long term would cost us more and more money. So on that basis, I'll hand over to Councillor Winter, if you would like to
put
the wording.
Well, I was going to move an amendment that we
delete the words 2 year and then replace 2019 with 2016/17 and then include the words afterwards in a new sentence that say council expenditure in 2016-17 will remain capped at its $22,000 budget allocation.
Do I have a seconder? That's what I was thinking. The council endorsed the establishment and operation of the Kingborough Climate Change Innovation Lab at the Kingston Beach Hall for
keep the words. Yeah, just the words two and year delete. Yep. And change 2019 to 16/17. Yep. And then the new sentence is capital expenditure in 2016-17. Sorry, not capital, council expenditure, sorry. Council expenditure in 2016-17 will remain capped at its $22,000 budget allocation.
Do I have a second?
Wow, this could be a total waste of time.
You'll test the water. I take it by that. You'll second it. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Winter, if you'd just speak to the amendment.
So what I'm amending here is not we are still going ahead and endorsing the establishment of a Climate Change Innovation Lab. This motion would still support it. But what it does is it limits the expenditure back to what the budget allocation originally was and is at the moment. I'll paraphrase, I think, John Doolan, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but what was said was that this project can continue with its current $22,000 budget allocation. In a perfect world, there'd be a much larger allocation, and what's being proposed here is an additional loan of $40,000, which will make things a little bit easier. Unfortunately, we're at a council where our budget situation is not good. We've increased our ratepayers' rates by 4% every year for the past 10 years, and we're proposing to do the same for the next 10 years. We can't afford to be loaning even small amounts like $40,000 when it's not absolutely necessary, and what we've heard here tonight is that it is not absolutely necessary. So the motion is supportive of the broad concept, but it does rein in expenditure this financial year and allows us to review again after the 30th of June next year when we've seen what sort of loans, what sort of grants the Innovation Lab has been successful in gaining, and we can reassess our financial contribution or otherwise at that time. So I hope councillors would support me in that more fiscally conservative approach to this.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Percy, you wish to speak now?
Just reflecting on the June report when we all thought it was a good idea, but everybody said, and I think it was most councillors, it was all councillors, I think, when I listened to the audio today, said that, yes, but we want to see the budget, the business case for it, put to council. The business case has now been put to council, and it's asking us for money for $40,000, so the same questions probably should be asked now. It is a good idea, and we definitely support the idea, but whether we want to provide $40,000 out of a budget that's, I think a budget for an underlying deficit of $365,000 this year, it's already down to $1.2 million. So we've already lost $800,000 this year. I'm just waiting on the council officers to come back to me with how to work out how to get it back to $346,000. Yeah, every dollar counts as far as operational money. Thank you.
Thank you. Further speakers? Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. I'm a bit concerned about this. If we're going to accept this amendment, we'd be reviewing what happens at the end of 2016-17,
And yet what happens after that, if there was budget expenditure, we would have had to make the decision before the end of 2016-17. Mm-hmm. So I'm concerned about the practicalities of the timing there, in that we'll be making the budgeting decisions for the 17-18 year before the end of 16-17. And I'm not sure, perhaps Councillor Winter could answer how he proposed that at work, as it's his amendment.
Councillor Winter, do you want to respond?
It's not going to work.
I do want to respond to you.
It's okay if you don't want to.
if you've got some practical an amendment to this that would suit you, Councillor Atkinson, more than happy to hear it. I've written this on the fly, as it were. It can be worked around, as you know, in these things.
Thank you. I guess my concern is we've been presented here with a business case that asks for a certain amount of funding. I'm concerned about modifying that during a meeting. As Mr. Dool said, he said he could operate without that loan. He also said that it would be difficult, and I'm concerned about strangling this project through lack of funding. The business case assumes a certain amount of money to undertake this, and I'm a little bit concerned about modifying that. And it's also that sort of thing of continuity. Like, if we sort of go, we might just pull the pin at the end of this financial year, if we are looking for grants, if we are looking for other partners to be involved in it, it doesn't show a great deal of commitment from this council to say, well, we only want to go to the end of 2016-17 and then we might change our minds or wander off or lose interest. I think we have to commit to this a bit more seriously, and I'm concerned this amendment doesn't show very much commitment to this as something this council wants to be involved in. Thanks.
Councillor Cheddon.
The 40,000 in question that's been put in 5.4 is not cash that we've got at the moment. It's talking about the budget in 16-17.
That's this year.
It says we're able to supplement the further 40,000 sourced from the current climate change budget for the 16-17 financial year. That's what it says in writing there, as far as I can see.
But that's this year, isn't it? That's the current year.
Whether or not, Mr. Dool, that's the question I'm getting down to, is the 22,000 going to survive us to the end of June? We need this to prop it up, waiting for these other budget allocations to come through, or do we need the 40,000 plus the 22 before the 1st of July? That's the question I'm trying to get answered, Mr. Dool.
Mr. Dool, could you respond, please?
The $40,000 is in the current budget, climate change budget. That's what, that's what I meant. It's funds in the current budget. Right. So this financial year out to June 30th. And as I said, it's a potential underspend in the approved climate change budget. While I've got the microphone, I would like to say it is saying it would be a loan, and I genuinely believe that. The thing I want to emphasise, though, is the setting up of the lab at Kingston Beach Hall, for example. Any works we do there would be no regrets works, making a council asset more usable anyway. Things like heating, acoustics, things like this. And what the original motion was asking was, can we have some sort of surety that we can use the hall for the setup period and then a 2-year period after that as well? So that's what I was actually asking as well. So this motion doesn't give me that sort of surety. And I also don't think it sends a good message to any of our backers, as has been pointed out, that that we're not fair dinkum about it. So that's what the motion was hoping to achieve, that one, we have got a right to use the hall in partnership with the Arts Hub, and also that we're saying, yes, we will see this out for set-up period in 2 years, to see if it actually works and then review it at the end of that.
Thank you. Look, the money, when we do our budgets, we often move things from one area to another, and all, as I can see it, we're doing here is moving it from one of the climate change areas to another one of the climate change areas. So we're not increasing the budget, we're moving it from one to the other. Yes, it won't be a complete 100% council-owned thing, but it'll be operated by council staff initially. So I have no problem, because we're not increasing the money in the budget. That money's there in the budget and there to be spent. And if Mr. Doolan and his colleagues decide that they want to spend it on climate change, other climate change issues, it's already approved. It can be done. So it's not going to have any bottom line effect one way or the other.
Thank you. No further speakers?
Yes, I've had my light on for a while.
Sorry, I can't see it because it's beyond that silver jug.
if only it was silver.
Councillor. Councillor Bessant.
Mine is my comment, and I did have my light on before, Councillor Chatterton, was much of the same thing. The 40,000 is actually there at the moment. So all we're doing is moving it from one section to another. We're not asking for more money. And in fact, we might actually get some of this 40,000 back in the following year. At the moment, we're spending it. It's in the budget to be spent. And if we loan it across and we get it back, then that's great. If we don't, we've already said we're going to spend it on climate change. So I can't see that there's a problem at all in that, Councillor Winter.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. I'll ask Councillor Winter to close debate.
I don't want to take too much time because I can see where this is going, but in response to 2 points, Councillor Atkinson, that in the business case on page 10, it talks about the revenue expected in between February 2017 and June 2017. It's expected that our NDGRP grant of $135,000 would be coming in. Sponsorship funding, partnership funding and sponsorship of $10,000, as well as the $12,000 of existing funds. So if this project is going to be successful, we're going to have to actually get that external funding coming in very quickly, and that's why I think it would be prudent to review this after we've seen whether we've been successful or unsuccessful in the first stage of this business case. Secondly, in relation to Councillor Bastone and Chatterton, in relation to the $40,000, what Mr. Doolan has told us today is that $40,000 is actually being earmarked for an important climate change project at Kingston Beach. Now, if that funding isn't used at Kingston Beach in 2016-17, and the work is important, as we understand it is, then it's likely that is going to need to be funded in future years. And so it flows on. So that if that project is important enough to warrant $40,000 this year and isn't done this year, then it's going to be in budget bid for next year. So the $40,000 is still $40,000 in loan money to the organisation. We always hope to get loans back, but you look at KWS and there's a $500,000 loan given to KWS, and if anyone here thinks we're getting that back, good luck to you. I'll wrap it up, I can see the writing on the wall.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillors, I'll put the amendment moved by Councillor Winter, seconded by Councillor Percy, and it reads in the change would be that Council endorses the establishment and operation of the Kingborough Climate Change Innovation Lab at Kingston Beach Hall for an initial period to be reviewed at the end of 2016-17. B, Council expenditure in 2016-17 will remain capped at its $22,000 budget allocation. Those in favour of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
Aye.
We'll have a division or show of hands, please. Those in favour are Councillor Winter, Councillor Percy. Opposing them, Councillor Grace. And those opposing the amendment are Councillors Bastone, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. The amendment is lost, so we go back to the original recommendation, and I am happy to put that recommendation, and I'll ask Councillor Chatterton if he wants to exercise his right of reply.
No, thank you. I think we've had debated enough. Thank you.
The original motion that we're now voting on, moved by Councillor Chatterton, seconded by Councillor Reet, that Council endorses the establishment and operation of the Kingborough Climate Change Innovation Lab at Kingston Beach Hall for an initial 2-year period to be reviewed at the end of 2019. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
No.
We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour of the motion are councillors Winter, Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reet and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Grace. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 61, Kingston Beach Flood Study, and there is a recommendation on page 64. Looking for a mover, and I have Councillor Chatterton and Councillor Fox. Councillor Chatterton.
Look, we've seen once again some very excellent work that's been done with flood situations that may occur down Kingston Beach, and this is just talking about here that we endorse the development of the flood plan, emergency plan. We investigate into the feasibility of installing a flood gauge on Browns River. We're looking at 1% annual exceedance probability coordinated flood maps developed in the study, and we're also looking at mitigation and protection schemes and providing significant reduction in flood risk for Kingston Beach be undertaken. So detailed assessments. So these things all going cap in hand with some of the other things we've been talking about. And when one looks at those documents that we had in the councillor's room there and available on our Dropbox, some of those maps are very, very interesting. And we've been talking about this, to my knowledge, for probably 3 to 4 years or more. And we were talking at one stage, you know, it might be 1 in 100 year flood. Well, that's come down to 1 in 10 year flood. We'll call it a flood, but it's sea level rise, swells coming in at the same time as a big fall of rain, and meeting the two, they meet at Browns River and they cause flooding. And all these maps are showing that 90% of that flooding, I think if I'd be right, would be over the golf course down there. And that would be taking the flood-prone areas of the houses along Browns River and protecting them by using the golf course as a basin, in a sense, to have that flood. But I think this is this is not an expensive exercise to do this. It's something that needs to be done due to all the other work that's been done on this. We've had workshops on these matters, we've had maps and things shown us for years on this, and I think we can't just sit on our hands. We need to accept that there will be these events and we need to be prepared for them.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
This is, it's something we have workshopped, and actual financial costing of even investigating and putting a flood gauge and stuff like that, I mean, that's capital work stuff, so it'll all come back to council anyway, or have to be budgeted in the next budget, because I don't think we allowed any money for any of this work in the previous budget, have we?
Mr. Doole, do you want to respond?
I have to be honest, Mayor, I sort of missed the context of the question. Sorry, Councillor Glass, could you sort of ask it again? I wasn't clear on exactly what you were asking.
What I was asking was the fact that we haven't allowed any funds in this year's budget for major capital or operational costs, such as putting a gauge on the Browns River, etc.
I think one, they may be the subject of a capital works bid anyway, but also I've got a feeling, and I might be wrong here, that we are in for a joint funding application with Glenorchy and Hobart on gauging and modelling for the whole of the region, and I think that's one part of it as well, under the NDRP grant. So you're probably right, there's nothing specifically now, but it's certainly in the pipeline.
Thank you. Councillor Reid.
Oh, yes, that's right, sorry. I know I had a question. I was just interested in the time frame for this project, because there wasn't any mention of it in the report.
Mayor, Councillor, you mean the time frame for any sort of adaptation works and things like that? I think that's part of the research. I think the important part of the research is
not only the feasibility of it all, building on that, but also when it might be timed, and of course the critical part of it is how it might be funded. So that's all part of the further research. So at this stage it's very hard to know, but off the top of my head I could envisage that you would need to do it by 2050, for example. That will be ongoing. That will be ongoing. And ironically, part probably of the Innovation Lab, a lot of the expertise will be parked there.
Further speakers, councillors? Councillor Chadden would like to close debate. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that council endorse the following: A, the development of a flood emergency plan for Kingston Beach; B, an investigation into the feasibility of installing a flood gauge at Browns River, including options for use of the data by the Bureau of Meteorology in their flood warning system; C, the 1% annual exceedance probability coincidence flood maps developed in the study are incorporated into Council's planning process; D, that a further detailed assessment of the potential mitigation protection schemes that provide a significant reduction in flood risk for Kingston Beach is undertaken. Councillors in favour, if you'd please say aye. Those against, it is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 65, Climate Change Adaptation Partnership, and a recommendation on page 66. Was that a move? Councillor Reid and a seconder? Councillor Fox. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I must admit initially when I saw this when I was reading through my papers, I thought, what on earth would we have in common with the council and the Whitsundays? But you start to think about the vulnerability of some of our areas and some of their areas, and I guess we don't have to be adjacent geographically to share some of the same problems. And this is quite a unique partnership, and once again, on the back of the other work that we've talked about here in the environment area, one that clearly this is the sort of thing that's leading the country that we should be proud of within the local government area. So I look forward to this progressing.
Thank you. Further speakers, councillors? Councillor Chad?
Look, I totally agree with the comments made by Councillor Reid, and I just recall those councillors that have been here for a while, we were part of an organisation where we were working together with other councils and in sea change. And it's the same sort of councils that have got the same problems of us, and those sea change municipalities are, as it says, they're all by the sea, and not only it's an influx of people, but there's also these other events that they're all going to experience, and we've seen them up in Sydney and things like that on TV where people have lost swimming pools and all sorts of things due to the events. So I think that there's a great opportunity to work with not only Whitsunday, there may be other councils, and I think we should have an open mind to work with anybody that we can, and it all, you know, if the more people are involved, the cheaper it becomes in the long term, and we can save some money.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson.
Yeah, look, much of it's been said. We certainly don't have a monopoly on intelligence, and it's worth working with other people, because you get more smarts when you get more people in the room. And climate doesn't respect municipal boundaries. We can't go, well, what happened that matters to us is different from matters to other people. And it also sets a good example that we want to work cooperatively with other councils, with other groups. It's a good first step towards getting a broader range of people involved in the work that we're doing here, so I support the recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Berry?
I just had a question. I was going to comment much the same as Councillor Chatton. Does the sea change organisation still exist?
It does exist.
You knew we weren't part of it, but I wondered if it still existed.
I believe it still exists. I think it's had a name change. Mr Arnold, have you got any, or Mr Ferrier? No?
Mayor, I think it's called the Australian Coastal Council's something now, because we've actually got a letter of support for the Innovation Lab from them. And I must admit, I didn't realise that's who they were, but I think it is. Yes.
Thank you. Being no speakers against, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Fox. The Council authorises the Mayor to sign the proposed Memorandum of Understanding for a Climate Change Adaptation Partnership with the Whitsunday Regional Council. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, it is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 72, a tourist update.
and a recommendation on page 76, and the time being 7:20. 7:20, Councillor Atkinson has left.
Moved
by Councillor Percy and seconded by Councillor Berry. Councillor Percy.
Good, thank you. Probably 6 or 8 months ago, Destination Southern Tasmania was commissioned by the Kingborough and Huon Valley Councils to provide a range of tourism services, and I think it's been very busy since then, and we've achieved quite a lot in a small time. The emphasis has been on brand development and the marketing program, and was to replace one of the targets was to replace the Huon Trail, which meant nothing really to Bruny Island or to the Channel area. So that was our initial focus. The visitor guide, similar to what the Huon Trail and that used to put out, has been done, and that's been very successful. And of course, I think Melinda came and saw you a couple of weeks ago, and no, there wasn't a real lot of councillors here that day, I think, and spoke about the Southern Trove, which it's a name to sort of get your head around initially, but I think as it becomes more familiar, I think it'll work very well for our areas. We've had local workshops on Bruny, we are going to have local workshops on Bruny and also on the Channel. Channel is an area that's very hard to get the tourist operators together, and we need to probably work very hard in that area. And I think we met today, and I think one of the big outcomes is the use of the social networks. I've got getting quite a few hits on that as well, so that's something that wasn't achieved very well with the Huon Trail. The Bruny Island Destination Plan, which is about improving the visitor experience, has been developed, and that was done in conjunction with State Growth, and they contributed the funds for that. There's a leadership group which includes Tony and myself, which we met again this morning, and feel there's some good outcomes. Things like that should be coming out of that very soon is consistent signage, especially on Bruny Island. And also some consideration of some projects that we can do to get some runs on the board. And we had a look at some of those this morning. Rob Pennicott said that he would commit $50,000 to some of this infrastructure money if it was matched by the state government, and it was about 3 days after they met with the Premier that the state government come back and said, yes, we'll commit to $50,000. And it meant also the council would look at a contribution similar. So for our dollar, we would get $3 worth of expenditure, so that was a very good outcome there. Some of the projects that we're looking at is things like walking trails, forestry tracks, council tracks, beach access and parking, visitor parking, lookouts, those sort of things which sometimes get overlooked by councils and PWS and all that, that are contributing to a good visitor experience. The Council's Bruny Island Tourism Strategy has been updated to include the Destination Action Plan for Bruny, and there's been close liaison between Council, Destination Southern Tasmania and State Growth and Tourism Operators and members of the community groups. Last week on Bruny, there were 70 people attended a tourism meeting for tourism operators in the community. That's pretty good. That shows how much confidence they've got in the approach we're taking at the moment. We're having another one this Friday, and that's going to be a test to see how many we get there, but as I said, it's a little bit different with the channel operators, but we need to chip away at it. And when we say channel operators, we really should be looking, and gentleman's gone, but we should be looking at people down at Kingston Beach and those sort of operators that run restaurants and those things, because they are part of the tourism industry, and at the moment they're just not connecting with what we're trying to do. So really all I'm saying is our involvement with Destination Southern Tasmania has been very good so far, and I think we're going to have a lot of good outcomes from that over the next 12 months. So that's why I move the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Bastan.
I just wanted a point that Councillor Percy said that Rob Pennicott is making a donation or a contribution of $50,000. It's $50,000 a year for 5 years, so it's actually more substantial than $50,000. And if the state government have also said they'll match it for 5 years, it's up to us to find the $250,000 to match it. So it's not $50,000, it's $250,000.
And that'll hopefully come out of our public open space fund for this year anyway.
Councillor Berry.
Is this for question, probably for Councillor Percy and possibly Councillor.
Did I hear them both say that the state government has committed to providing these funds? I thought I heard Councillor Percy say that the state government agreed to do this, but...
Yes, they come back to us, I think it was last Thursday, and said they'd donate $50,000 per year for 5 years. They're not only giving it to Bruny Island, but because of these destination action plans that they have done in five regions around Tasmania, they're giving the five regions $50,000 each, and Bruny Island will be the recipient of one of those, and it'll be for 5 years, so $250,000. Rob Pennicott's giving $50,000 for 5 years as well, and hopefully council will match that, but from this year's contribution we're hoping that we will match it out with our public open space fund for Bruny.
I appreciate that would be in the public open space and space fund for this year, but of course it wouldn't be for any ensuing year. And basically, obviously, one supports this idea. I would love to make our contribution conditional on the state government introducing a visitor levy. I don't think that this is another way of dealing with it. I just wondered, do the Bruny Island Advisory Group, I'm really addressing Councillor Percy through you, would they have an expectation to have their views on this use of the public open space, since it's for the whole of the island? Would they be expecting to be consulted, or their opinion?
I'm not quite sure of their expectations. We had a meeting last week and we did tell them that they were quite enthusiastic of the fact that the government had come back with their donation, and also Pennicott's. We did discuss it, as I said, we had a meeting today, and we did discuss, and in those people that were there was the chairman of BICA, even though that's not a council endorsed, but the chairman of the private industry, Rob Pennicott, who's president of the tourism, and Bernice was vice as well, she's vice president. Also Bob Graham was there, Tony was there, and myself was there, so there's quite a good representation from the island. And there are two members of BIAC that were there today.
So is council, by doing this, are we agreeing to chip in $50,000 for the next 5 years? Or is it just for this first year?
5 years.
Through the chair,
Mr. Ferrier.
Yeah, through the chair. It's only intended to be for this year. It's only taking money out of the Bruny Island Public Open Space Reserve account for this first year, and any subsequent years will be subject to budget deliberations from then on. It's not intended that we're committing ourselves to the full 5 years. We're just committing ourselves to this first year. It was when I wrote this report, it wasn't known whether the state government were going to support this. It was only found out the next day or two. And as Councillor Percy said, they have now committed to it on the basis of a 5 year $50,000 for the whole of the region. So we're just not entirely sure that it's all going to go to Bruny for the next 5 years, but we'll get that clarification over the coming months. But this recommendation is only for the current year. And because we can't afford to take any more money out of the Bruny Island public open space account. So in future years, council will need to make a deliberate decision as to whether it wants to continue to fund this program. And they'll be doing that in the budget process.
So we're just agreeing to it for this year?
This year.
Councillor Gross?
Just on Bruny Island, yesterday, whilst they were happy with the $50,000 from Pennicott and the possibility of the $50,000 from the state government, they were a bit concerned about money coming out of the public open space and just wiping their public open space clean out with one foul swoop without any consultation to the community at all. And I can tell you it will come back and bite us. I think, Mr. Mayor, what we should be doing, and I support that we do go into this program, but I believe that this should read that before the money comes out of the public public open space of Bruny Island, there should be further consultation and the project listed or projects listed for spending on the island, the reasons for it, should be given to them. And I think we should amend this to read that.
So if I can have your proposed amendment again, please.
What I said was that we should be amending this so that saying we put a list of projects forward to the Bruny Island community groups prior to committing their public open space money. Is that something?
I'll second that.
Thank you.
That's item D.
Can you help me? Yeah, come on then, help me. No, I don't mind. I mean, if you get it, you help me. I did say consult, and I said again, consult with the Bruny Island. Okay.
We'll see if that's what you
that's
want.
What I meant, yeah. Sorry. All groups. Mike, I think you've got, Councillor Percy, you've got... You've got Adventure Bay.
On, hang on, Councillor. We're just
going to get
Councillor Grace, would you be happy if it said something like, the council undertakes consultation with the Bruny Island community or something more general like that, rather than saying specifically a list of projects to the Bruny Island groups? That leaves the staff a bit more discretion as to who they talk to. Yeah. Council will undertake consultation with the Bruny Island community prior to, in determining which projects to
prior to committing
implement.
Prior to committing the public open space funds.
You decide which way you want to go. I mean, we're saying we'll commit it, but they can help choose, or are we saying they can veto?
Yeah, can we just wait till Amanda gets this, and then we'll go from there?
No, that's the way. That's a good way. I'd like to see it written the way it is now, prior to committing the public open space expenditure. Okay. Not necessarily how we're going to spend it, but the fact that they might want to decide not to.
Yeah, fair enough.
Everyone's happy with that, Mayor. I think I've said enough on that. I think everyone's got the gift.
Yes, I do. It was actually the issue I wanted to raise about the whole motion, because I'm very concerned about item 5.3, how much money there actually is in the whole of Bruny Island as public open space funds, because it takes a lot of time for that money to accumulate in an area that isn't actually rapidly growing like the rest of the area, and where small areas are losing their public amenity. You can't buy land anymore. You can only... once you've spent that money, there are no other ways of buying land for public purposes. And it concerns me very much also that there is consideration of having a municipal-wide public open space strategy that effectively pools all of the existing local reserves. And I think the reaction that Councillor Grace has just had from Bruny Island will be replicated around the entire community. The thought of having Taruna public open space money spent in Kingston Beach, or Kingston Beach public open space money, or benefiting by public open space funds from Snug, for example, is abhorrent to a lot of people, because they have sat, that money has sat there and it hasn't been spent by council for so many years, and to then lose it to an area where those people may not necessarily go or might not benefit from, where the children can't walk to for playgrounds or for passive recreation, I think would be abhorrent. So I think it's very, very important that we consult with the Bruny Island community, because this would be setting a precedent. I noticed that the money would possibly be spent on walking trails. That's fine. Visitor parking, I'm not so sure about that. Lookouts, that's probably good. And signage, maybe. I don't think public open space has been spent on signage before. But to be putting it into forestry roads, I think that's highly political. And unless I was mistaken, that was a list of projects I think Councillor Percy read out. Was it forestry roads or forestry routes? Forestry tracks. That might be more acceptable. But I do think it's important that we consult very, very widely and very carefully before we set this precedent. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bestow.
I was just going to ask that the public open space money that is on Bruny is being used on Bruny. It's not suggesting that it's being used in Kettering or Woodbridge. It's actually being used in Bruny where it's... Yes? That's not the way I read it. So I read it as being used on Bruny, the 50,000 in this next year. And I can't see anything wrong with that. I'm not sure that we consult every area before we spend their open space fund. I mean, I've never been asked whether I wanted my money in Kettering used anywhere else, and we've contributed to the open space fund. So I can't see anything wrong with this at all.
Thank you. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, the members of the leadership crew are already, well, there's quite a few, as I said before, quite a few different groups. As I'm just not quite sure how much consultation you need. You know, we've got BIAC, we've got two members of BIAC on there, we've got President Bicker, we've got Buy-In, whatever that is, I'm not quite sure of that one. We've got Friends of North Bruny, Friends of Adventure Bay, and also the tourism, so I think that's quite a good leadership group. If we had that much consultation in most areas, we'd be more than happy. All these projects that have been given to us, and one of the criteria was they've got to be spread around the island, so there's no one area that's going to get any more than the other. So that was definitely proposed today. So we can get a list of the projects in priority list, and we certainly circle that to the council. I'm just wondering how much consultation you go outside of these things. I mean, we've consulted BIAC as far as where the toilets go in Adventure Bay, and then somebody said, well, why are you consulting BIAC? You know, why don't you consult somebody else? And I mean, how much consultation can you do? That's all I say. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take that as a speaker against. Councillor Winter?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. The first one is just for my clarification. I thought I knew what this was about, and so many different points made. I just wanted to clarify that the destination action plans, is that specifically about infrastructure, or can that, or does that include other things like operational expenses?
Mr. Ferry, are you able to advise, please?
Through the chair, the destination action plans are being rolled out all over the country. I think it's an initiative of generally the state governments, but I think some of the funding might be coming from federals. But within Tasmania, virtually all regions are obtaining destination action plans. Certainly the first three, I think, were Hobart, Tasman and Bruny. They're three-year plans. They're three-year action-based plans. They're short-term actions. They're not necessarily all infrastructure. A lot of it's investigations and marketing and research and things like that. But there is a focus on getting jobs done within those 3 years. The type of work that's being targeted by the Bruny Island Destination Action Plan Leadership Group is, as Councillor Percy said, primarily in relation to these small projects which are coming out of the Rob Pennicott offer, but also in relation to some signage issues and things like that to improve visitor experience on the island. Fundamentally, it's all about improving the visitor experience when they get into that particular region, so that visitors stay longer, spend their money within the region, and local communities benefit.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly sensible, particularly in the context of the conversation we had about a
potential levy on the Bruny Island ferry. The problem we've got is not that there's not enough people going to Bruny Island, it's actually that our infrastructure hasn't kept up with the number of people. So to me, if council's going to be expending money on Bruny or for projects on Bruny, it should be infrastructure and walking tracks, roads, whatever it is, as opposed to marketing activities to get people there, which sort of gets to my next question, which is there's a comment in 5.1 about council contributes $50,000 per annum to DST. Can I get a clarification on that? Because it's only just come to my attention, but I thought we only agreed to fund this for 1 year and then review.
I'll allow the question. It's not really in relation to the amendment, but Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, the funding we provide to DST is provided on an annual basis. It's something which obviously the work that DST is doing is being done on a long term and in the hope that they're able to secure ongoing funding from council, but each year council reviews that funding as part of its budget process.
Okay, I'm happy to support the amendment in that I think it adds a level of involvement from the community. Although I take Councillor Percy's point, I think we need to make sure that we're separating very clearly what we're doing for our local community and what we're doing for the tourism industry. And the public open space account should be used for the community, for public open space. That's the whole point of it. And I would hate to see it going into, say, for example, public toilets that were specifically designed for tourists, because, as I said, there's an infrastructure deficit caused by tourists, not caused by locals. So that public open space account does need to be kept to projects that enhance the experience for local people.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. Just briefly, I'll support this amendment because I'm hearing some councillors around the table have concerns about whether the issues council is talking about, whether the community want these projects to go ahead. I take Councillor Percy's point that there's been extensive consultation with the community groups, and I think this wording is sufficiently broad that the General Manager could say, tick, done, we've done consultation with the community if necessary, but at least it puts some responsibility on Council to make sure we've done some consultation, and maybe a lot of that's been done already. That's great, but I think it's a good point in there to show our intent to consult with the community.
Councillor Grace, if you'd like to close debate on the amendment. Close. So, councillors, I'll put the amendment moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Fox, the adding of paragraph D, and that states, Council undertake community consultation with Bruny Island groups prior to committing the public open space expenditure. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
This is the amendment. Those against? That amendment is carried unanimously. So the amendment now is part of the recommendation, and I'll put the recommendation.
I want to speak to the recommendation.
Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. Look, I have questions, some of which have been covered already. My memory is that the conditions on this Robert Pennycott's funding was that it had to be on projects that weren't previously funded. Is that correct? I just wanted to clarify something.
Mr. Ferrier?
Through the chair, he's asked that they're not projects that would normally be done by council or state government, so they're not projects which are currently on our budget, which we were going to do in any case.
Yep, thank you. I was going to ask how many years the state government had committed to, but that's sort of been answered, although I don't believe they can really commit to 5 years. I'm not sure how they can do that. And was, just to be clear in my head, Robert Pennycott's funding was dependent on matched funding from both council and state, the same amount, right? I'm glad that there's been discussion about whether this is a commitment into future years, although I don't read it clearly in the words. There's certainly been discussion about it, and I'm prepared to support this if it's a commitment for the first year, but I do have concerns about where the rest of the funding will come from, but we'll cover that in our budget deliberations as to whether we want to pursue it in future years. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chatterton.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Bruny Island Tourism Strategy report, which we've all got, and I was just having a gander at that, at a particular thing, because we were talking about what's the money going to be spent on, and when one reads some of the sections in here. In fact, 4.5 covers Spruny Island placemaking and visitors engagement. And some of the things that talks about in here are exactly what we've been talking about, walking tracks and all sorts of things of that nature. Looking at the new contract for Bruny Island is in there. You know, and it's talking about things in Lunawana. It's talking about things up at the other end of the island. So it covers Lona Hall, is in there. All sorts of things are in there. And it's a very comprehensive report, and I think irrespective of whether we use the money from public open space or not, money's going to be spent through the whole of the island. And in fact, it said there may be day walks, there may be walks for a week. Yeah, there's all different types of things, and things that perhaps we sitting around the table here at the moment haven't even thought of. But public open space money has been used in the past not only for buying land. It has been used to do play equipment and all sorts of other things. It has been done in the past, so it's nothing not new.
Thank you. Councillor Winder, do you wish to speak to the motion? No?
Yes. Yeah.
You do? Well, so, the floor's yours.
Yes, I just wanted to raise in relation to this broadly. Before we had the new DST tourism strategy, we had the Huon Trail, and whilst the Huon Trail was in action, the fastest growing tourism sector in the southern region was Bruny Island, which wasn't covered by the Huon Trail whatsoever. I want to point that out. Now it seems as though we're focusing very heavily with our new tourism strategy on Bruny Island, where we know we have an infrastructure deficit. We have actually more people going to the island than we can cater for in terms of our infrastructure. Yet we're continuing to put more money into marketing to get more people to go to the island, whilst now the private sector, Rob Pennycott, is offering to give us money to pay for infrastructure. Now, I don't think this makes logical sense, and to continue to commit to put $50,000 into asking more people to come to an island, which we can't afford to build infrastructure on, is silly. So I'll leave it at that and talk to you about it at budget session. Can't wait.
Just a point of order there, Mayor. Councillor Winter said that Bruny Island had nothing to do with Huon Trail. That's not correct. I was chair of the Huon Trail for quite some years, and Bruny Island had representatives on the Huon Trail committee, so that is not correct.
You are correct, Councillor Chad.
In fact, they came from the... Mr Gunton was a representative at one stage, and there was representatives from Mr Pennycott's...
OK, I'll ask Councillor Percy to close debate.
Finished.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Berry. The Council notes the progress being made in regard to tourism marketing within Kingborough, and that A, the Bruny Island Tourist Strategy, December 2016, is endorsed for public release and as a basis for considering future tourism-related projects. B, Bruny Island Destination Action Plan, that's August 2016, is endorsed. And C, the offer from Mr Robert Pennycott from Pennycott Wilderness Journeys to develop a matching funding program for visitor infrastructure on Bruny Island is supported in principle, subject to matching funds being made available by the state government and satisfactory project management arrangements being established. Council funds would then be provided from the existing Bruny Island Public Open Space Reserve account. D. Council undertake community consultation with Bruny Island groups prior to committing the public open space expenditure. Councillors in favour, I'd ask you to say aye, and those opposing to say no. That is carried unanimously. Councillors, at this stage, I would...
Could I ask for a break?
That's what I was going to do, was to adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes, the time being 7:49, and we're adjourned for 5 minutes.